Hey, this is Puka Nacua, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap here, of course, with the Trash Man. On the eve of the, not the eve, but on the week before the NFL Combine, of course, make sure and stay tuned here on the YouTube and on the podcast for all of our content from there as we continue to go to Indy for our 13th straight year. And as always, we're going to have the best ball cheat sheet available to our pro members the week after we get back home from the combine. So make sure and stick around for that. We're having some best ball conversations right now as we're getting in some early drafts. Trash Man, how are you doing, brother?
You know, dealing with the seasonal allergies here in Austin. If I'm at my voices are registered lower, it's probably because of that.
That's what happens when it's like 30 degrees in the morning and 80 degrees in the afternoon, man. It's so cockamamie around here right now. All right, let's talk about it. So as we're going over and as we're looking at this stuff, we're going to talk about some players that we have some that are giving us some best ball sticker shock. Maybe just a little bit more highly valued by others than what we necessarily see it at. And the thing I hate about this, Trash Man, there are three. So I picked one from each of the first three rounds. And so this is always hard because everybody in the first three rounds is going to be players that you can make a case for, right? It's just the other hard thing is these are three players who I kind of really like, you know.
It's just I can imagine who your first probably is.
Okay, so in round one of these best ball drafts, we have it goes like this, right? So Christian McCaffrey is going first off the board, and then CeeDee Lamb, and then it's Tyreek Hill, then Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Breece Hall usually go, you know, somewhere six to seven. Then Bijan goes. Then you get to this spot where you get to Puka Nacua and Jahmyr Gibbs. And for me, look, I love Puka, and I think he had a great first year. And I'll even concede, but it's Puka for me. Like, his ADP right now is 9.6. And the reason why I'm hesitant to take Puka Nacua at 9.6, for one, it's just – I did – and look, the evaluation looks bad now looking back, but I don't think anybody had him evaluated. There are people who do victory laps on Twitter and say, oh, yeah, you know, I've always loved Puka. And just be like, well, did you really think he was going to do that? I don't think anybody foresaw that, right? My main concern is Matt Stafford and if he's able to stay healthy for the whole season. Do you remember last year how worried we were before the season when Dr. Chow came on the podcast and said, dude, it's going to take one sack on Matt Stafford where he get like bruises some part of his spine to where it's going to mess up some kind of L1 or whatever he's talking about in his neck. And, you know, he's not going to be able to play anymore, you know? This year we saw, do you remember, I think it was versus Dallas, wasn't it? Because during the Dallas games when he went out with the thumb, it was Dallas, wasn't it? He was back. So. And then there was the Green Bay game, and they were worried for the rest of the season. People were freaking out bad because there was a time when it looked like that thumb thing was going to keep him out maybe for the whole year because it was on his right throwing thumb. He ends up coming back, and – basically, while he was gone, that was basically the worst two games that Puka played all season. I think he had like three catches and four catches in those games, respectively. If you look at Puka Nacua, and I think we can all agree that Cooper Kupp is probably on his way downhill.
He's one of the guys on the list for me.
Yeah, I think he's on his way downhill. I can see it. But he was on his way downhill this season too, right? And if you look at it, so we knew that Kupp missed the first four games of this season, but once Kupp was back in the lineup in week five, whenever Kupp was out, that's when Puka got off to his really hot start. He was averaging 9.75 targets per game over the course of those four games. Over the whole rest of the season, after Kupp came back, he averaged 5.36 targets per game. So if you think about the fact that Cooper Kupp is still going to be – even if Matt Stafford's perfectly healthy, right? We're looking at a sample that's greatly affected by the first four games of the season with no Cooper Kupp, right? Puka Nacua was awesome, but towards the end of the year, they were kind of forced feeding him a little bit to get him the rookie records. And I think if Kupp is healthy, even if Stafford does stay healthy, it's going to be tough for Puka to, you know, have a season like he did last year. And we're talking about, man, your first round draft pick. So whenever you get to that spot, for me, I'm definitely going with Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs, or maybe even Kyren Williams over Puka Nacua after I get through this first kind of five pack here. Tyreek Hill, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Amon Ross St. Brown. McCaffrey will already be off the board. But if Breece Hall is there, I'm certainly taking him. Bijan, I'm taking him. I'm taking Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm taking Kyren Williams. I'm toying with the idea of maybe even getting A.J. Brown over him. I think it makes plenty of sense. I mean, if you would have asked me last year. Yeah. I mean, but their ADPs were like two spots off. So to me, it's look, I think Puka Nacua is fine. If you have him in Dynasty, good for you. But, you know, being wide receiver six, I mean, sandwiched in between A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson now with the hopes that Aaron Rodgers will be there in to some degree, stuff like that. It's just, I don't know, man. It's to me, that's a real tough sell. So Puka Nacua is the first guy that gives me sticker shock early on in these drafts.
For me, and I agree about Puka Nacua. I think, you know, his season this past year was largely predicated on, I mean, his quarterback. I mean, Matt Stafford's the kind of quarterback that can be – he's a wide receiver's best friend.
He's just awesome, dude. He's been doing this stuff back to the dead Calvin Johnson times and stuff. It's just like
– I don't think he really came into his own until after Calvin Johnson, because I felt like he used to be the kind of guy – he wouldn't throw it up to Calvin in situations where I thought, just throw it to the guy. He's going to get it. But I think he got over that hump with Cooper Kupp. For me, the first guy – it's Bijan Robinson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. I mean, if you just look at his – I mean, look at his season. Look at what Algier did there alongside with him. Bijan Robinson, I would rather – I mean, after seeing Gibbs come on late in the season for the Lions and seeing what he can do when they actually allow him to do what he can do, I'm more excited about having Gibbs on the field. I mean, if you're going to talk about limited touches for either one of those guys, I'm more bullish on Gibbs.
I'm not sure it's going to be limited to like. So here's my deal on Bijan, and I get it with Gibbs, but I think with Bijan Robinson, with a new coaching staff there, right? But the same GM that drafted Bijan, you got to think with Raheem Morris coming in as the head coach, he's bringing Zach Robinson in. That's right, right? Zach Robinson. I'm not missing that. Falcons OC, Zach Robinson. Yeah, Zach Robinson from the Rams. We know in those Rams offenses that he came up in, those guys like to stick with one running back that could be a pass catcher too, like an all-around bell cow type. We've just seen the usage out of those guys be good. I think it might be a philosophically different kind of offense. You're betting on the come with it.
And it's a might. You know, we don't know. There's some variables that you know, are associated with the position where I just feel safer taking some other guys. I feel safer taking a Gibbs. I feel safer taking a Kyren Williams. I feel safer taking a Jonathan Taylor just at this point with – the unknowns that are available around.
Gosh, it's just hard. I just love Bijan so much.
I know. I love him. It's hard.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Another guy who I love that just gives me, I hate that this has even come up. But the price is just too high. And it's it's the rookie Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, he was my second guy too.
It's just like, gosh, like, whoa, that escalated quickly. And I get it. The people that are playing the pre-NFL draft best ball stuff are guys like us that like to get most of our exposure here before the draft and use the intelligence that we gain through the all-star games and through the combine and through our networks and our scouting groups and stuff like that. And so it's people who are excited about rookies. I totally get that, right? And Marvin Harrison Jr. is a super easy guy to get excited about. But, man, I hadn't dug into Marvin Harrison Jr. and his tape as much as I'd really liked until just this last week when I got my hands on 6 All-22 games from this last season, right? And I've watched him. I think he's great. I think that there are little nuances about him that I worry a little bit about that we'll talk about in future episodes here on the podcast where it's sort of like rookie breakdown and scouting evaluation stuff. But you can't hide the fact that he is just super tall. He moves super, super well. You can't deny the pedigree, right? He's a top 10 wide receiver talent that's going to be like a top 10 guy in most drafts, right? And with that said, I do consider a top 10 guy different than these kinds of guys that go 22, 23, 24 and stuff like that. Because in a lot of these drafts, as scouts will tell you, sometimes in the draft, just because a guy goes in the first round doesn't mean teams have first round grades on them. The average number of first round grades that the NFL will have sort of consensus wide on these players. Some years will be 16, some years will be 17, some years it'll be 18 and stuff like that. Generally those guys that go in the, where we've seen guys like Jordan Addison going and, Jalen Reagor and Justin Jefferson and, just all these guys that go 21 to 26, stuff with Zay Flowers, this kind of draft capital. I consider that a different breed of prospect than the wide receivers that people see as complete game changers that go top 10, right? So we know that he's going to be that type of prospect. With that said, I'm not sure that he's a better prospect than Malik Nabers from LSU. It's a conversation that Cody and I are going to continue to keep having. And so I do have that issue when I look at Marvin Harrison being taken now at number wide receiver 11, whereas where is
Nabers?
Nabers is wide receiver
23.
Okay, 23 now. Okay, so he was at 22, so he's actually falling a little bit. I think I would much rather have Nabers at wide receiver 22, wide receiver 23 range, getting him at a price of a back end wide receiver 2, right? High end wide receiver 3, as opposed to my back end wide receiver 1 in Marvin Harrison Jr. And I was just curious. I look back. So these wide receivers that do have consensus first round capital draft grades, right? If we go back 10 years, just listen to these outcomes. Okay. And I left Odell Beckham in this one from 2014 because he went 12, and that actually goes against my argument here because Odell Beckham finishes the wide receiver 1 that season. So some of these rookies can come in and do it, but dating back to 2014, the first round or the top 10 wide receiver ish players, right? Garrett Wilson in his rookie season was wide receiver 30. Jamar Chase was wide receiver 6. As a rookie, Devontae Smith, wide receiver 46, Jalen Waddle, wide receiver 22, Corey Davis, wide receiver 91, Mike Williams, he only played 9 games, but he was a very busty first season, wide receiver 165. Maybe that's something to remember about Quentin Johnston to some degree. I don't know. maybe not. Let's see, John Ross, he only played 3 games, so whatever. Amari Cooper was wide receiver 30 as a rookie. Kevin White didn't play as a rookie. Sammy Watkins was wide receiver 31. Mike Evans was wide receiver 13. Odell Beckham, he wasn't technically top 10, but clearly had a consensus first round grade. He was wide receiver 1, and it took him 6 weeks to come on in that rookie season. Not that it matters for best ball, but just an explosion down the stretch for him. So we're talking about what outcomes have been better. And look, I know it probably doesn't mean all the world to look at the historical trends, but it means something, right? So you would need a Jamar Chase and or Odell Beckham-like outlier to get any value on a wide receiver valuation on Marvin Harrison Jr. And we don't know where he's going to go. And he's being widely mocked basically by a ton of different people to the Patriots. So it's just like,
for
I mean,
me, it's just like without the landing spot, it's really hard for me. I mean, because you think about some like last year, JSN, you know?
Yeah.
Prior to the draft, I mean, the sky's the limit, but you know, he lands in Seattle and it totally tempers, you know, his fantasy prospects. So I feel like, yeah, it's too high for Harrison.
All right. So that was
I actually lied though. He's not my second guy. He wasn't my second guy. DJ Moore was my second guy.
Oh, really? I was kind of thinking DJ Moore might looks kind of good where he, all right. So let's hear about the DJ Moore stuff.
Well, I mean, it's just like, we just don't know what's going to go on with Justin Field.
Well, I think that by now the reporting is basically kind of, did you see, he took all of the bear stuff off his social media. He did the little pity party thing. So yeah. I'm assuming it's Caleb Williams. That's kind of the assumption that I'm going with now. And I think that whenever we build out projections and stuff like that, once we know the team fits and things, that's what we're going to be doing. So that's the way I'm kind of eyeballing it. And I think I don't know.
I don't know. Like, we don't know how his rookie quarterback is going to perform.
And what you can say about, you know, purported lack of volume or the projected lack of volume that the Bears had this year and everything like that. Yeah, I mean, DJ Moore still had an awesome season.
He did.
You know, I mean, Justin Fields really, really likes him. So I'm not necessarily saying I think that losing Justin Fields, getting Caleb Williams could be a step up. I think it could, but it could certainly go either way for sure. Like, I guess I get it. It's just so right now, DJ Moore, his ADP is sitting
wide receiver 10.
Man, all that stuff, man. Why, dude, the wide receiver 9's Nico Collins. That also kind of worries me. I know it doesn't worry you quite as much, but it's
I guess it kind of worries me in the sense that Tank Dell, I mean, could potentially have a full season.
Yeah, but Tank Dell is another guy who, you know, you're talking now early third round, what, wide receiver?
I think you could potentially 18, get value on Dell.
A mid round. I mean, I know you love Tank Dell. I was talking about it on the show the other day. I think that the deep sleeper in that whole deal could be John Mechie coming back as a dude who's kind of all recovered from, you know, his physical ailments and a really good prospect coming out. And you can get him in the final round of these drafts. I think I might rather do that than, you know. Gosh, we're taking Texans receivers in the first and the third rounds.
CJ Stroud, I mean, come on, he's willing his team to playoff victory.
CJ Stroud's a goat.
I like CJ Stroud to me is he's the next Brady.
I have one last guy that's just giving me sticker shock in best ball trash, man. And then you can go get with your last one, and we'll get out of here. And it's another one, dude, that I hate that I'm having to say this. But it's the tight end one in underdog and a dude who we loved coming into this process last year, who we had a lot of in best ball and a lot of in redraft. He actually almost got me the win in that super, super tough FFPC Pros versus Joe's draft where I ended up losing by like 17 points at the very end, missing out on a main event ticket. And it's Sam Laporta. And here's the reason. It's not because I don't like Sam Laporta, and I think it's fine to take him there, right? But he's going off the board as tight end one at 29.4 overall. So we're talking, what, the 3.05? Trey McBride, by comparison, is going at 51.1 as the tight end three. So let's just – and I understand that Sam Laporta had a better season on the whole than Trey McBride. But I went back and looked at it and looked at Trey McBride's splits with and without Kyler Murray last season. So with Kyler Murray last season, 6.63 targets per game. Without Kyler Murray last season, do you want to guess, Trash Man?
No, I'm scared of making it dumb.
All right. What's up to Harry Snowman in the chat? Snowman, so good to see you, brother. 3.11 targets without. So 6.63 versus 3.11. 68 yards per game with Kyler Murray versus 32 yards per game without Kyler Murray. 10.74 half-point PPR fantasy points per game with Kyler Murray versus 5.41 fantasy points per game without Kyler Murray. As far as the let's just compare that. Let's compare those numbers. McBride with Kyler Murray.
Is Laporta too low? Is Laporta too high or is McBride too low?
Well, I'm just saying I'm not taking Laporta there. If we're not going to take McBride almost 20 picks later, that's what I'm saying. Like this, I'm trash man. I'm getting sticker shock. Sticker shock. You know what that's like. I think everything gives you sticker shock.
Nothing shocking.
Sam Laporta last year on the entire season, right? Because his situation didn't change much. So we look at McBride with Murray, 6.63 targets. Sam Laporta, 5.35 targets. McBride, 68 yards per game receiving. Sam Laporta, 53.25 yards per game receiving. The only place where Laporta had him, and it was only by a little, was in fantasy points per game. Laporta on the season, 11.32. McBride, 10.74. But if you look at the – but let me just go over some of the other – like some of the background stuff. The routes on percentage of team dropbacks. So when Kyler Murray was in the game, we had McBride running a route on 82.1% of team dropbacks on the season. Sam Laporta only ran a route on 70.8% of team dropbacks. McBride with Kyler Murray had a 24.3% target share, whereas Laporta on the season had a 19.5% target share in Detroit. Very importantly, I think, just as an overall view of all this stuff that takes into account not just the volume that we've talked about, but also the efficiency and yards per route run, which is just, you know, one of the best statistics that there is for this stuff. 2.17 yards per route run for McBride with Kyler Murray, 1.95 yards per route run for Sam Laporta on the season. So it's just like
– I think Sam Laporta does have going for him, but they didn't have going for him last season. I mean, we have to talk about that strength of schedule for tight ends.
Yeah, it was
he had the worst in the league.
It was a tough strength. He went up against really good coverage linebackers and stuff.
And he still thrives.
How many spots are we talking here? Give me, oh gosh, man, what, 25 spots lower? 23 spots lower. Yes. Give me two extra picks at before I have to take a tight end to give me Trey McBride instead of Sam Laporta.
No, that's fair.
All right. Who's your last one?
My last one. It was Zay Flowers.
Why don't you like Zay?
Well, I mean, just look at him because I had him on my team last season, and I saw just like the middling lines that he put up.
Well, you're a fantasy analyst
on a weekly basis.
It shouldn't matter if you had him on your team.
With guys like Rashee Rice, George Pickens, Terry McLaurin, they're all outscoring Flowers on the season in fantasy. And, you know, I don't see that situation necessarily getting better for Flowers. I see Bateman maybe stepping up in that offense. I see the running back situation getting better this season. More options in the passing game there. Flowers is a great player. I just think in that offense,
it's a little high at the, it's a little high at the 4-5 turn. I think you're right. You're definitely taking, gosh, I mean, Jaden
you're taking
Reed
Flowers over McBride. You're taking over Kenneth Walker when the Seahawks have said they're going to lean heavy on the run this season, heavier. I can't commiserate. Like Flowers over Walker there, I that doesn't make any sense. Or McBride, or, I mean, Jordan Addison, Mark Andrews even. It's Mark Andrews is the better pass catcher on his team.